Ryan, what are you doing? For fuck's sake, put down your blasters. Now! This isn't going to do shit.
Ryan smelled the familiar sweetness of gun solvent, and he tasted its poisonous bitterness. He was tightly focused. What he had in his right fist was what he had wanted all along. An ending. No fear, just fury and fulfillment. In Poet's eyes, Ryan saw a landscape of resignation, as flat and smooth as his forehead. The older man was ready to die. Maybe he even wanted it a little bit.
As sure as this blaster's in my hand, I will send you to hell, Ryan. But I am not your demon.
What the fuck do you know about my demon?
Only what I said, that it isn't me. It's somebody else.
I never said it was you.
No, but you let yourself think it. And you acted like it was me from the moment we crossed paths. A man calls things by their true name. Always by their true name.
Despite himself, Ryan blinked.
Harvey.
Without a sound, Hun moved in beside them. Her quick light fingers slipped between hammers and firing pins and locked down, preventing them from firing. For an instant at least.
Enough of this! Stand down, the both of you! We got enough trouble without you blowing each other's brains out for no good reason!
Neither man moved. They stood on a tightrope, face to face over the abyss.
I got no grudge against you, Ryan. Even after this thing here, I got no grudge. And I will prove it to you.
Slowly, Poet brought down the Colt.
There. My blaster's out of it. It's your call, Ryan.
Ryan stared at him, stone-faced, with that one icy blue eye. The Ruger was still angled under Poet's chin, so as to take off the better part of the back of his head.
You were on the last train west, War Captain.
So were you, Ryan. Window seat.
Now that you two are done having your little moment, what are we gonna do now?
I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get some payback.
Hey!
Before Ryan could acquire a target on the opposite hilltop, Poet reached out and grabbed the Remington's heavy barrel, 6 inches from the muzzle crown. He twisted it aside and down.
All that's going to do is put them onto us in a hurry. If any of the others are still alive, we can't help them if we're running to save our own skins.
And if they're all dead?
Then we can't exact the maximum revenge.
Ryan reslung the Remington 308. Like it or not, he could see the man had a point. That made two.
Guess who, traitor?
Traitor struggled up on one elbow. He shook the dizziness from his head and forced his eyes into focus. His heart sank at what he saw. It looked like everyone in the crew but him was dead. Bodies still lay all over the inside of the convoy circle. Zeal's uniformed SecMen and Shabazz's crew of road pirates were busily going through their pockets, stripping them of valuables. The fat SecMen, hunkered over Sam, had another idea in mind. He had pulled her t-shirt up over her collarbone and was mauling her bare breasts with one hand, while with the other he tried to get the waistband of her fatigue pants undone. He was so preoccupied with his own animal satisfaction, he didn't seem to care who was watching. And Trader could tell that the tub of guts wasn't going to stop until he got everything he wanted. The fat SecMen had to have been squeezing Sam really hard, because she suddenly woke up.
Ah! You bastard!
The vicious, flat-footed kick to the man's groin paralyzed him in his squatting position. Then, before he could stagger back out of range, she followed up with a solid snap kick with her stronger leg to the point of his chin. The fat man hit the ground flat on his back, and as he did, his leg slowly straightened in short, twitching movements. His arms remained limp and still. He lay there with his mouth hanging open. There was some blood leaking from his lips, but not much. He wasn't breathing as far as Trader could see. His bugged-out eyes stared up at the sun. Sam was already up on her feet, jerking down her t-shirt to cover herself. Then she had her hands up and her feet moving.
Anyone else want their asses kicked?
Grab that crazy bitch!
You crazy whore! This'll keep you where we want you. Hold her down!
Let me go!
All right, now. Let her go. Now get up, bitch!
I swear to you, you asshole, the minute you turn your fucking back!
Get the hell up, or you lose a knee!
Sam stood up, her arms pinned behind her back, manacles to her ankles, and a wide metal collar around her throat. All three were joined by short lengths of chain. Trader had seen that type of restraint before. They were used to transport slaves to market and to lead the condemned to the gallows. Shabazz walked over to where the fat man lay like a beached whale. He still had a little bit of life left. The blood-flecked lips moved, opening and closing, but no sound came out.
That was some kick.
Chunks of skull, fat, and brains pelted the shins of the assembled pirates. There was little, if anything, left of the fat man from the shoulders up, just a smoking crater in the earth.
Get this stinking pile of nuke shit out of the road.
Nice stroke, Sam!
Despite her predicament and her discomfort, Sam immediately brightened. Shabazz approached Trader and pressed the smoking Desert Eagle's muzzle to the top of Trader's head.
Hey, I won't have no more of that hoo-ha. Any of your people act up from now on and I start chilling. There'll be no fooling around, just chilling. You understand?
I do.
Now sit the fuck down.
Trader complied, and Shabazz and two of his crew clapped an iron collar around Trader's neck and manacles around his ankles. As with Sam, all three iron bands were connected by lengths of stout chain. The chain sections were made short on purpose, so a captive couldn't fully straighten or run far without falling on his or her face.
Well, well. The mighty Trader ain't so rad-blasted mighty now, is he?
Trader said nothing. He was looking over the bodies of his crew, and was grateful to see most of them were stirring now, either on their own or thanks to kicks or punches from the enemy. Most, but not all. There were a dozen or so stretched out to one side who weren't moving, and nobody was bothering to kick them awake. To Trader, it looked like the corpses were already going stiff. There was green foam around their open mouths, and their tongues were all swollen and sticking out black. The Baron Sekhmen clapped the chains on every surviving member of Trader's crew. Then they forced everyone into a line. JB got shoved in behind Trader. Ahead of him was Samantha. The Sekhmen linked up all the neck collars, running a long single length of heavy chain through the iron rings welded at their fronts.
They lost 11, Trader.
Maybe they are the lucky ones.
Trader ignored the remark. Shabazz's crew was splitting up and piling into the doors of his wags, which in the confusion and suddenness of the gas attack hadn't been sealed, nor had their external mines been armed. What pissed Trader off most of all was the sight of Levi Shabazz's hairy head sticking out of War Wag 1's driver's compartment vent hatch. The bastard was in control of everything Trader valued.
All right, hook him up!
Two of the road pirates grabbed the first man in the line and connected his neck collar to the rear bumper of the MCP. Counting Trader, there were 33 captives in tow.
All right! Let's have us a nice stroll!
The chain jerked tight, making Trader and the others stumble forward, forcing them into lockstep behind. Trader stole a quick glance behind. All the other commandeered wags were following.
JB.
Yeah, Trader.
Still got your watch?
Yeah.
How long until the internal booby traps blow?
The traps.
Exactly.
A little more than 3 hours before they kick off.
Be plenty dark body in.
No way, Panther. When those charges of mine go off, it's gonna look like dawn.
What about the externals?
They aren't set, as far as I know.
And we gotta figure out a way to arm at least a couple of them.
Gonna be pretty tough, the way things stand now.
All right, both of you, pass the word. Send it up and down the line. Anybody who gets a chance should try to trip one of the switches, if they can do it without being seen.
It took the better part of an hour for the column of prisoners and booty to creep down to the outskirts of Virtue Lake. An hour with no water, amid choking dust, under an afternoon sun that was ragingly hot. Because he was being towed in the middle of the chain gang, the only time Trader could see ahead was when the MCP angled around a bend in the road, and then only if the breeze blew the dirt cloud to one side. When this happened, he could make out a large gathering of people at the entrance to the ville, people waiting for them to arrive. The MCP crept through the gate, then started to zigzag through the obstacle course.
Shoot them!
Yeah! Take them out!
The pelting of captives began almost at once.
Son of a bitch!
Traitor, they're throwing rocks and pig shit!
Yeah, I just figured out that last part.
The celebrants had plastic buckets of the stuff lined up at intervals along the parade route, and they were reaching in bare-handed for gobs to throw. Trader could see that not all of the townspeople were participating in the abuse. In fact, very few of the actual assembled folk were throwing stuff. Most stood silently behind the active ones, watching in silence. The active ones also appeared to be the best dressed and the best fed. Trader figured that they were the ones destined to share in the spoils of the robbery, the family members of the Sekhmen and other Virtue Lake bigwigs. As for the mute, ragged mob standing behind them, Trader could only guess that they had been made to turn out at gunpoint, or that it gave them some small comfort to see others in a worse plight than they were. It was a miracle that no one in his crew was felled by one of the flying stones. When Warwag 1 reached the mini-malls with its human chain, it pulled into the left-hand parking lot, drove all the way to the end, and stopped. The wags immediately behind followed it in and pulled up close before stopping as well. Because there were so many vehicles, some were left out on the road, idling. Shabazz jumped onto the roof of the MCP.
Those behind me, park here. Those in the road, park in the other lot.
Trader figured it was probably now or never when it came to arming the booby traps. Stuck in the middle of the line, there was no way he or JB or Sam could reach the nearest wags. They would have to drag 30 other people along with them. The only person who really had a chance was the guy at the back end of the file. Because of his position, he had some freedom to move wide to the right or the left. He didn't hesitate when he saw his opportunity. He hopped to the right and dived under the nearest war wag, chain and all.
Hey! Get that stoop out from under there!
It took a minute or two for Shabazz's crew to accomplish this, because the man had himself a good hold on the wag's undercarriage, and because the crew members chained up next to him did everything they could to slow down the process. In the end, they had to pull him out by his heels. He stood up to his full height and looked over at Trader, smiling with his eyes. The booby trap was armed. Shabazz leveled a lever-action Marlin carbine at him.
Cut him loose from the others! I told you no more acting up, Trader, otherwise there'd be chilling. Now look, I don't like chilling your men any more than necessary.
Trader watched the Sekhmen as they uncoupled the corpse from the line.
A man do anything to the wag?
Nah, guy was only under the thing for a minute. Probably just panicked and wanted a place to hide.
Stupid bastard. Well, keep a close watch on those wags. And keep those gaudy house drunks from crawling on them or in them.
Shabazz hopped off the wag roof and climbed back in it.
All right, let's get going.
Shabazz pulled the monster wag out of the lot and back on the road. The line of humans, less one, followed like a living tail. About a quarter mile farther on, Shabazz pulled up next to a hut made of corrugated sheet metal. Four men sat on inverted 5-gallon buckets in the strip of shade.
Hey, get moving, you slags! Empty out those cells! We got some grade-A guests here!
The jail facilities of Virtue Lake consisted of nothing more than a series of rectangular pits, 6x6, packed into the bedrock. There were about 15 of them, all roofed over with iron bars. Inside, there was no shelter from the sun, except early in the morning or late afternoon. No shelter from the chem rain if it decided to pour. One by one, the four jailers unlocked and opened the doors to half the cells, then hauled out the prisoners and let them go. Dazed and weak-kneed, the freedmen wandered off in the direction of the shantytown. The jailers then unhooked Trader and his crew from the MCP and started pulling the heavy chain through their collars. As the crew members were released, the jailers used the butts of their shotguns to push them into the pits. The drop was no more than 6 feet. Trader could just stand up inside. The shorter JB, who stood beside him, had plenty of headroom. In one corner of their cell was an overflowing shit bucket.
Now, don't go and make yourself too comfortable, Trader. You won't have these fine accommodations for long.
After Shabazz turned away, JB did a quick survey of the walls and floor.
Well,
good news is a rock isn't that hard. Bad news is, we can't use the plastique I got tucked into my boot sole.
Why is that?
If I blow the bars above, the sidewalls will cave in on us. They'll bury us alive. Not to mention the fact that a chunk of C4 big enough to do the door will probably take our heads off, too. There's no place to hide from the blast in here.
Trader glared at the bars just over his head, and then at the narrow walls. None of his crew was stupid enough to try it. Not while they still thought they had a chance to survive.
All the cells look the same to me.
Yeah, me too.
Then nobody's gonna be able to blow the doors.
Not and live to tell the tale.
How long do we have on the internal charges?
We got 1 hour and 49 minutes until the wags blow.